In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that we are to imitate him. Now that's quite a high calling when a saint is asking us to imitate him. And yet what he's telling us further, though, is that our citizenship is in heaven. We're supposed to live in a heavenly manner. He even makes that point that there are lots of people who walk along the way of the world and not along the way of heaven. And so it brings us then to that point of looking within our own selves and asking ourselves, how do we walk? St. Paul is very clear and says there are some who walk as enemies of the cross. And so we can ask ourselves then, where are the areas within me which are in opposition to the cross of Christ? Those areas of sin that we all have. And the problem with the areas of sin in our lives is that oftentimes we just don't want to get rid of them. Sometimes they're habitual, and so it's very difficult. Sometimes we really, really like our sins. And because we like our sins so much, we really don't want them gone. We like them there. We are in love with our sins more than we are in love with the Lord. And so again, it gives us something then for us all to look at. What are those areas within my own self? Now, if we just look at it in those two ways, that is, the habitual nature of some sins and the fact that we really like some of our sins, then we realize that we can't do this by ourselves. We're way too weak to be able to get rid of our own sins. So we look then at the gospel reading today, and the church gives us a couple of different things. First of all, calling to mind the fact that all of us are going to die one day. So we hear about this little girl who has died, and our Lord coming and raising her back up. In case we missed the point, we have several parts within the Mass today that are right out of a funeral Mass. The De Profundis, for instance, that we just heard and we'll hear again. And so the church is calling our attention to the fact that one day we are going to die and we're going to stand before the Lord. And if that's the case, then we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to say? Or what's going to be said of us? Is he going to be able to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are we going to stand before him and hear that we were more in love with our sins than we were with the Lord? Have we tried? And that's the other part of the gospel that we need to look at today. We see two examples of people with great faith. Think about yourself. Put yourself into the situation of this man whose daughter just died. Most of us would be in utter despair at that point, just grieving terribly, and we would have kind of given up. Instead, what this man does is his daughter dies and he immediately goes to Jesus and says, come and lay your hand on my daughter and she will live. What astounding faith that this man had, that he would actually come to Jesus and ask him to come and lay his hands on his daughter who had just died. It's one thing if the girl was sick and he came to the Lord and said, could you please come and lay your hands on her? She's sick. She was dead at this point. And that was this man's first reaction. Turn to the Lord and ask him to come. And then we see the woman who has this hemorrhage for 12 years. Again, obviously very weakened by her circumstances. And yet, what does she do? She gathers all of her courage and her strength and she comes to Jesus, thinking, if I can just touch the tassel on the bottom of his cloak, then I'll be healed. Which is exactly what happened. And so we recognize in this a couple of things. Number one, we see in both of these situations, these were circumstances that were beyond what these people could handle by themselves. We know from other gospels that this woman had exhausted everything that she had. She had spent all of her money on doctors trying to get better, and nothing worked. So she wasn't just sitting back and saying, oh, poor me. She was trying, she was doing her part, but nothing worked. Then she came to the Lord. That's exactly the pattern for us. Maybe some of those areas of sin you look at and you recognize that this thing needs to go, but I'm too weak. Maybe I've tried again and again and I haven't been able to get rid of it, to overcome it. Then we need to come to the Lord. We need to admit our weakness. We need to be dependent. And that by itself is hard for us because we like to think that we're strong and we like to think that we're in control. And what we have to recognize is that we're very weak. Or if you put it the way I do, pathetic. We're really pathetic. But that's why the Lord loves us. But if we think that we are strong and in control, we won't come to Him. Oh, we'll give Him lip service. We'll acknowledge who He is. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have faith. But is that faith just in the head? In other words, is it just we know all the answers to the catechism questions? Yeah, Jesus is God. Yep, He was incarnate of our Blessed Lady. Yep, He died for us on the cross. Yep, He's the Savior. He's the only one. But in reality, how much do we come to Him? Do we allow Him to be the Savior in our lives? Not just objectively, yeah, I know I can't save myself, but do we come to Him and say, Lord, save me, help me? You see, we have to have a relationship with Him before that sort of thing can happen. And we have to be humble enough, which of course brings up another problem. We need to pray for humility, but we all know that the only way to get humility is to be humiliated, and we don't like that either. And so then we run away from it. We won't pray for it. So then we're stuck in our pride, and then we look at it and say, the pride's not good and the pride needs to go, but yet I'm too proud to pray for humility because I don't want to be humiliated and I can't handle it. So then we just go round and round and round and round in circles. We need to get to the point then of at least going to prayer, recognizing the areas of sin, and pray for detachment from the sin. If it's a sin that you really like, or it's a sin that's habitual, then pray for detachment so that you can begin at least the process of getting the heart to be able to say, I don't want this anymore. Again, your head can say, I know I should stop doing this, but the will kind of likes it because it's become dependent on it. And we don't really want to get rid of it then. So praying for that detachment. And then pray for a hatred for the sin, because that's what we need to have. If we're citizens of heaven, we need to have a love for the things of heaven, and therefore we need to have a hatred for the things that are contrary to the life of heaven. And that's exactly what sin is, contrary to the life of heaven. So we need to pray for that hatred for the sin, and then we have our part to do. Again, just look at those people in the gospel. If that poor woman would have just said, look, you know, I've been bleeding for 12 years. I'm really weak. I probably have anemia at this point, which they probably didn't know what that was back then, but whatever. She could have just said, well, you know what? I'm just going to lay here on my bed and say, you know, wouldn't it be nice to touch the tassel of his cloak? She wouldn't have been healed. In her weakness, she needed to get up and she needed to go to Jesus. She knew she couldn't heal herself, but she still had her part to do. And so do we. We are weak. We are broken. We're pathetic. We can't do this ourselves. So we need to come to Jesus. We have to do our part. We have to fight. What we would really like is if the Lord did it just like he did with the two in the gospel and just say, okay, you're healed. Okay, come on, rise, you're done. That's not the way that he usually does it, because there would be no growth in virtue. So we have our part to do. We have to fight against the sin. We have to strive to develop the virtue, but again, we are very weak and we cannot do it ourselves. So that's again where we need to come and rely on the Lord to help us. So we first have to get the right disposition, that is, wanting the sin gone. And then we have to have the right disposition toward the Lord. We have to trust him. We have to have faith in him. We have to have confidence. And then we need to pray and ask him for the help that we need, the strength that we need to be able to overcome these things. And it's not just a one-time thing, because if you do it once, like for instance, you could look at whatever sin it is that you know you need to get rid of, and today before you leave, you can pray, Lord, help me to be detached from this thing and help me to overcome it. And what you'll find is that today you probably would do okay. I don't really want to do that. Yeah, but then you don't pray about it again tomorrow. And tomorrow you're going to fall right back into the sin again. So we need to keep praying and we need to keep going back and we need to keep breaking our own dependence on this thing, whatever it is, and we need to learn to be dependent on the Lord. Because once again, we're all going to die one day. We're going to be dependent on the Lord. We can't raise ourselves from the dead. We can't get ourselves to heaven. Only God can. So he wants us to be living as citizens of heaven. That's the reality of who you are. On the day you were baptized, you became a citizen of heaven. You're a member of Jesus Christ. You're a son or daughter of God. Your citizenship is in heaven. And that's why St. Paul is asking us to live that way, to be able to reject the negative things of earth. Obviously, we have to live in this world, but we need to live as the saints did. The saints all recognized their weakness. The saints all recognized that they were dependent on the Lord. And the saints all lived that dependence on the Lord. They didn't give it lip service to be able to say, yeah, I know I'm weak, but oh well. They actually put it into practice. They let the Lord be strong because they knew that they were weak. If we think we're strong, and therefore we think we really don't need the Lord, again, we'll give him lip service. Yeah, I know I can't do it, but I'm going to try. He's just going to say, fine, do it your way. And we're going to fall flat on our face once again. So how many times do we have to fall flat before we really recognize that we cannot do this alone? We need the Lord. We need to be dependent on the Lord. We need to have a relationship with the Lord. Not just give him lip service, not just acknowledge what the truths are, but put them into practice. Be like this woman in the gospel who says, the only way I'm going to be healed is if I go to him. That's what we need. And go to him daily and beg his mercy daily. Because there may be one huge thing that's in our lives that needs to go, but there are a whole bunch of other ones too. So maybe once you get that one big thing out of the way, which might take a while as we pray and work to get rid of it, then he'll start showing you some other areas. And then we need help to overcome those. And interestingly, the smaller the sin, the more difficult it is to get rid of, because it's more deeply rooted within us. Those great big sins, they're relatively easy to overcome. The little ones, the deep ones, those are really hard to be able to root out. We have to dig those out. And so once again, we can't do it alone. We have our part. The Lord's going to require that we do our part, but we have to be dependent on Him. So turn to Him, pray to Him, seek His mercy, but develop that relationship. Again, prayer isn't just about give me, give me, give me. Prayer is about a union with Christ. Prayer is about seeking that relationship with Jesus and seeking union with Him. That's what He desires for each one of us. That's what eternity is going to be. That's what He wants us to begin even now. So that's the invitation. That's what the church wants us to look at here, is to think about the fact that one day we are going to die, which means one day we are going to stand before Jesus as our judge. That being the case, again, ask yourself, what's He going to say to you? What's He going to be looking at? If you've got the excuse of, well, everyone else was doing it, you think that's going to fly? No. Because if you know what's right, He's going to expect you to do what's right, even if everyone else is doing something that's wrong. So what areas in your life are opposed to the cross? Again, just even that point, look at it. The Lord wants to lay the cross on our shoulders, and what do? We run as fast as we can. Oh, this is more pleasant, this is more fun, this is more exciting, and the cross is painful, the cross is difficult, and so we run away from it. The cross is our only hope, the cross is our only way to eternal life. Why run away? That's what we need to embrace. But you see, we embrace the sins that lead to death rather than embracing the cross, which leads to life. So we've got it all backwards. And that's what we need to get turned around. And once again, the only way to turn it around is to learn the dependence on the Lord, to have the humility to come to Him, to acknowledge that we are weak, but to trust in His strength, to rely on Him, and to strive as much as we can to stop living according to the ways of the world and to begin to live as true citizens of heaven.